Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, my family went on a family vacation out to Mammoth Cave. My dad paid for some special tour, and so we're in like this group of about 20 or so people, and this guide takes us into this big cavernous room in the middle of the caves, and he asks anyone, he says, has anybody ever been in complete darkness? And of course, you know, at this point I'm a kid, and so I obviously had not, and I don't remember what the group had decided, but he said, you're going to experience it now. He said, so if you have a hard time with balance, make sure to grab something. And he turned off the lights. And we were in complete darkness. He said, just as an experiment, he said, put your hand in front of your face. He says, can you see it? The answer was no. In complete darkness, you can see nothing. But then what he did was he took out a lighter and he lit a candle, probably about the same size as this one, actually. But he lights this candle, and literally, with the light of one candle, you could see the walls of the cave. I could see my hand again. I could see the people who were in the room around me, but it was only by a single light. Our first text this evening read this way. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. You're here. You've come to this dimly lit church tonight to see a great light too. Assuming that is that you came here seeking Jesus. Before we get there, we have to start at the beginning. We can all agree that even in a dimly lit church, we would still say that we are not sitting in complete darkness. We can see, I can identify the lights. In fact, I can point them all out to you if I really want. But if we were in complete darkness, it would be very, very difficult for us to carry on with the service. I mean, honestly, even from some of the hymns we've been singing, I can tell they're very unfamiliar to me, which means I'm certain they're very unfamiliar to you. It would be nearly impossible for us to carry along with this service. It just wouldn't happen, except maybe Silent Night at the end, right? We know that one pretty good. But this is exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They could walk and live in the holiness and glory of the Lord, and yet they chose darkness. It's made things difficult ever since, right? Now, instead of being able to carry on in perfection and holiness that humanity was intended for, now we have this difficult time, right? Now we're constantly striving, and sickness gets in the way, and death gets in the way, and natural disaster gets in the way, and other various sufferings throughout our life, they keep popping up. And no matter what we do, we cannot get over it. Sure, okay, you know, we might go through a time of joy for a while, but the truth is that we're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. We're always waiting for that darkness to creep back into our life. But in the midst of the darkness, God gives Adam and Eve hope, the promise of a Savior. And even in Genesis 3, the promise of a Savior was a baby. He told Eve, "You will have a baby, and that baby will destroy darkness and Satan forever." It was a great light that would shine forth from her womb in the midst of a dark world. And so we know, as you know, Eve does bear children, and the descendants continue down, and all of a sudden, the people find themselves in darkness again. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, though. And so as we look at the people of Israel, as they're experiencing the darkness and the difficulty of slavery under the persecution of Egypt, 400 years in servitude, which lead up to the 10 plagues, the last two being darkness and death. And what happens next? Pharaoh lets them go. And not only does he let them go, not only is it like this proverbial light that they get to experience, but literally what is leading them out of the land of Egypt? It's a pillar of fire. Literally, fire that makes light. And yet, the darkness comes seeking them again. You know, and it wasn't even that long, but all of a sudden, Pharaoh, he has a change of heart again. He goes, wait a minute, I just let all my help go. I just let all of this free labor just walk out of this nation. He goes, no, we're not doing this. And so he takes his army and he goes after them. And what are the Israelites thinking in that moment? The darkness is coming back to get me. But God wouldn't allow that either. That pillar of fire, as we learn in Exodus, what happens is it spins behind and then it drops down right behind Israel, right between them and Pharaoh's army. And the darkness is not able to recapture them. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Well, even so, as babies continue to be born and as the people of Israel continues down the line, darkness descends again. In fact, so much that the Babylonian nation comes in and carries them all off into slavery. And for 400 years, there was not a prophet. There was not somebody to speak God's words of promise. And even worse off, the governors and the kings and even the priests themselves who were supposed to lead the people were all corrupt, living in darkness and evil and ungodliness. And yet what happens? Outside a little town called Bethlehem, shepherds who are watching their sheep in darkness saw a great light. The light shone around the shepherds that night as God's angels came to them to deliver them a message. The message was that a Savior had been born for the world, that God was going to increase the size of his family by granting faith in this Savior. In a manger, in a stable, in the city of David, there was a light, a baby, a Savior. Someone in whom there was no darkness at all, God's own Son, was born. And in him was life. And that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And we see that throughout Jesus' life. In fact, we see that moving through the last 2,000 years, even unto now. I mean, the darkness can lie, the darkness can creep. But the truth is that the darkness will never overtake the light of Christ. In fact, it never did since Adam and Eve, and it never does even today, because God is light. And so what does the light of the world do as a baby? He grows into a toddler. He grows into a child. He grows into a teen. And eventually, when he becomes a man, he stretches out his arms on the tree of the cross, and he dies. And as Scripture tells us, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land, because the darkness comes back again. But in the ninth hour, as Jesus gives up his spirit, the darkness is dispelled. And Jesus says, it is accomplished. Death has been overcome. Darkness has been overcome. Satan has been overcome. Sin has been overcome. The thing that plagued humanity for so long is done away with. Because the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And it even goes as far as that the centurions who are standing there at the cross, when they see that Jesus' death dispels the darkness, they even confess him as Savior. Truly, this was the Son of God. But yet here we are. We have real darkness in our time. We are born walking in it. And if we're honest, we're having a hard time. We're having a hard time with sickness, with death, natural disasters, what tornado just blowing through Taylorville, family issues, everybody having a happy Christmas with their family. I hope so. The truth is that these struggles, they creep into our lives. Not even to mention all of the political unrest in our nation, government shutdown, terrorism. We're lost in the dark, and we don't know what to do. And if we're really honest with ourselves, sometimes in life it feels impossible to continue. We wonder, how long will it be? When the darkness is breathing down our necks, God, how long is it going to be? Are we going to have to wait 400 years in this slavery until finally we can be let out? Is this going to take us our entire lifetime? I pray it won't be. I pray we see a glimpse of light before then. But the truth is that even in the midst of darkness breathing down our necks, even in the midst of this darkness that bears down upon us, God gives you good. He gives you the light that dispels the darkness because he gives you hope in the midst of it. That you might know that this darkness is not all there is. Our present suffering is not all that exists in this world. Why? Because Jesus made you the promise in his death. He made you the promise that darkness would be put away forever. And yes, okay, for a time we have to deal with it in our temporal lives. But the truth is that eternity is a lot longer than a lifetime. If Jesus was able to do it in the past, why can't he do it now? And the truth is that he can. The darkness of death has been overcome for you Christians. Why? Because Jesus is your light. Death is not death. Death is just falling asleep, as the Old Testament tells us. We're just waiting for Jesus to come and tap us on the shoulder and wake us up again. Sickness is only for a time. Suffering doesn't last forever. But Jesus does. You see, even after his death, he rises again. He shows us the way to eternal life. And it's by his power. And it's by his light. And the truth is that he gives it to you today. My friends, I don't know what sort of darkness you're experiencing this day or this week or this month or this year, but I know what the solution is. It's Jesus Christ. He has made you promises of eternity, promises that no darkness can ever overcome, promises that you are forgiven and you will live forever. My friends, we gather here in a dimly lit church to be in the presence of, okay, physically dim lights, to be in the presence of the greatest light the world has ever known, a baby born in Bethlehem. For Jesus is the light of the world now. He was the light of the world at the beginning, and at the end of time, when we live in all eternity, he will still be your light. Merry Christmas. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your light in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.